Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is DJ Carmi of KPTR Behind the Music. And we have with us today is Miss Cherie Walker of Black Wall Street. And first of all, I want to say hello and thank you so much for being on the show today.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. How are you? This is Cherie.
Hi, Cherie. Yeah, I was introducing you to our KPTR listeners. And we know that you are the aide of Dr. Michael Carter Sr. of Black Wall Street. And we just wanted to say thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome. It is my pleasure.
First of all, this Black Wall Street, we want to kind of get into you telling us about that. I do know a little bit of the history of Black Wall Street, but I know a lot of people do not know the real details. So could you tell us a little bit about that, about the background of Black Wall Street?
I would love to. Black Wall Street was a – let me just try to get here. I'm a bit nervous, so forgive me, everyone. Black Wall Street was a community that began in the 1800th century, and it died explosively in 1921. It was begun by a black man by the name of Mr. Gurley, who was a very wealthy landowner who came to Tulsa, Greenwood area of Tulsa, basically, and bought 40 acres of land. And then he turned around and bought a couple of hotels, motels, rooming rooms, and a couple of other places. And then he turned around and bought 80 acres of farmland. And from there, many black men and women began coming and pulling their resources together, which created Black Wall Street. And at that time, it was called Negro, the Wall Street. And actually, that part of the land was set aside for indigenous, native, and black people who were walked alongside of them in the Trail of Tears to this area. And it was not a state at the time, but it was land set aside for indigenous people and black people. And within that community, as I stated before, that many other black men and women began coming and pulling their resources, and they created the most wealthiest black community ever. Now, there were many other communities, 21 others in America, one of the wealthiest, and it contained, they owned 2 bus lines, they owned airplanes, they owned hotels, schools. They built everything, everything that anyone can use and anyone can need. There was nothing they needed to go out of their community to purchase. They were a self-sustaining community.
Right. So basically what you're saying, it was like one wealthy black community in which they relied on their own resources.
They relied on all of their resources. They built everything. They created everything.
Right, but didn't you
together?
Didn't you say the native? Did you mention the Native Americans were with them, or did I misunderstand that?
No, you
so
did
them
not
along with the Indians.
They along with our African American people, of black people, created a community. they were the ones, in the article that I read, it said Creole people, which we know are a mixture of indigenous and black. Okay. But there were Creole people, but it said in the article that these people were along with them. They were a cohesive group together, and they created Black Wall Street. And a lot of people don't know.
Right.
I don't know if you ever heard of the Gap Band.
The Gap Band, the group?
Yes. Yes. A lot of people don't know that the Gap Band was a group that was out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. They were known back in 1967 as the Greenwood, Archer, and Pine Street Band. And they had to shorten their name. And if you take the first letter of each street, Greenwood, Archer, and Pine Street, that's spelled Gap Band. And the song, The Bomb on Me, was created out of that incident. Or that horrible incident.
Wow, you know what? I never knew that.
Yes,
I thank you for sharing that with me. And I know a lot of people did not know, you know, that's where they, you know, where the song come from. Because, I mean, you dropped the bomb on me. So, Mystery, please give them some details on what happened to the original Black Wall Street.
Well, on some people, on the dates, on the articles that I've read, it states that it happened on May 31st in 1921, and some dates, facts list June 1st of 1921, where on that horrible day, this is when a group of white racists led by the KKK and the police department, local police departments, who allowed the KKK and outsiders to come into this town to do what they have been wanting to do in the first place due to hate and jealousy of how self-sustaining these black people were. Now, what happened was a young black man who was a shoe shiner, and name right now, but he was a shoe shiner. He was walking onto an elevator, and in that elevator was a young white female who was the elevator operator. Well, as he stepped onto the elevator to go to the roof, to where he can go to the bathroom, which was the bathroom for colored people, he misstepped, and tried to step over the threshold, he basically slipped and fell into this young white woman. And she began screaming and yelling for anyone to come help her, saying that this black young man tried to molest her, tried to rape her. And, of course, it was untrue, but we know during these times what life was like for black people. And so him being afraid, he just took off out of the radio, I mean, out of the elevator, and ran home. And he told his father and other people, and of course everyone that knew him knew that he was not this kind of a person. And so as the well-off people tried to come, and attorneys tried to come to his, well, came to his aid to protect him, he found himself basically in the hands of the white police officers. And it was made such a big deal that they decided that they wanted to lynch this man. So in order to protect him, of course, black men came with their rifles and weapons and said, no, this man has done nothing. He did nothing to this woman but accidentally fall and tripped into her. But, of course, during those times, anything went, and he was afraid. And so a black man, one of the black men that was guarding this young black man, he was holding a weapon, and one of the KKK Ku Klux Klan members and white racists came up to him and said, what are you going to do with that weapon? He says, I will use it if I have to. And so the white man attempted to grab the weapon out of his hand, and the gun went off, and this is when everything started. And these people went in, these KKK and white men, they had surrounded the town. They cut off the electricity to the town so that no one could even make a phone call outside for help, even to the White House. They could do nothing. Even white children and the white women who were spouses and relatives to these white men that surrounded the town came to even observe and watch what these people did, what their spouses and their loved ones did to these black people. They went in with weapons and guns, and they began shooting in the streets, and they went from place to business to home, and they began, everyone in the streets, there were even black men who put on their uniforms, they had served time in the military for the United States of America. They stood at attention to let these people know, please pass by my business. I've done nothing but love this country. And they still shot them down in the street like dogs. They did whatever they could possibly do to just demean these people. Not only did they go into the businesses and murder the business owners, but before they set their businesses on fire, they pulled their trucks in and looted these businesses. They looted the homes of people there. They basically went in and shot women and children, even in the homes. Babies were not even off limits. They killed babies. People and children
that's
hiding underneath the bed, in closet, everything they could do, they just went in and looted the home businesses, and then
right. And when you look back at this incident, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I know when you look back at this incident, when you go back and do your research, you know they only put a small amount of deaths. A small amount of murders that occurred. I think like maybe 300 people or less, but we know it was way more than that, correct?
Yes, it was. In fact, they tried to say it was just 35. And then they went in, and then the police says, oh, about 300 because of the hospitals that some people went to and ended up dying there. But the people that were actually burying the bodies and the people that were witnessing it, because many people rushed also to the there were many maids and butlers that worked outside their Greenwood community in white homes. And so they went to these homes to be protected. And the police and KKK would still go to these homes and demand that these white people who basically were sympathizing and trying to protect their black maids and their black friends from the mayhem, and they were ordered to give them over. They would shoot and kill them right there in front of them. They did whatever they could, but they're saying about 3,000 and could possibly be more were murdered. And they basically, they said over 10,000 people, 1,000 to 13,000 people were put out of their homes. They were left homeless, penniless. Some people rushed to the trains to get out of town, and as they were running, they were still chased and shot in the back. And some were snatched up and lynched.
Yeah, and it's a very, very sad story, but, you know, that's history. And this is only one out of hundreds of stories like this. I mean, if you can pretty
yes,
much put Rosewood in the same category, because it's the same incident, and it happened so much, and it never made national news, and a lot of people are very unaware.
Yes, they are. In fact,
of these things that had happened.
Tulsa, they called it a Tulsa race riot. So I learned it was I thought it was a race riot for years. I didn't know that it was far from a race riot. It was basically a
genocide.
It was a genocide.
Yeah, you got
exactly.
It
was a
absolutely.
To this day, these homeowners and business owners and landowners, they have not yet received any reparations or any reconciliation to what the government did. Because a lot of people don't even know also the National Guard participated in eradicating these people. They allowed planes.
That's right.
Planes in the air and bombed this community for what? From the air? And there was no cause for it. No cause for it.
Other than jealousy.
Hate and jealousy.
Other than jealousy.
And
hate.
In February 2003, a lawsuit against the city of Tulsa and the state of Oklahoma, Alexander versus Oklahoma, filed by five survivors, with the lawyer Johnny Cochran and Dr. Charles Ogletree, they actually filed a lawsuit to try to receive any sort of reparations for this. And it was dismissed, saying, because what they were saying, it was considered to be the worst single horrifying event of racial violence in the history of the United States of America. And they dismissed it because they say the statute of limitation was up. And so what they are doing, they refiled it because the National Guard actively participated in this Holocaust. And so they are looking for reparations because they're finding that actually the Oklahoma State Legislature reported in 2001 and they revealed the underlying facts that the state action violated the due process clause of the 14th Amendment. There are no limitations when it comes to justice, is what they're saying. And in order for the healing to even begin to take place in American soil, the United States must take responsibility for this event. So,
right. I totally agree. Ms. Cherie, we are now getting ready to take our little station break. But when we come back, we want you to tell us about the new Black Wall Street and what are your goals and what are you guys doing right now, you know, as far as the Black Wall Street, if you guys are on the same mission, history or not. So we're going to take our first station break and, hey, make sure you don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Okay.
There is nothing more aggravating than finding yourself in a whole lot of debt. If you're having a challenge paying back credit cards, lines of credit, other unsecured debt, or have back taxes, you're likely looking for a debt relief solution. Relief can be as simple as just one phone call. Try CuraDebt. They will restore your peace of mind and, most importantly, help you resolve your IRS problem. Give them a call at 877-624-2035. That's 877-624-2035.
All right, we are back. See, it didn't take long, did it? We are back with Mr. Lee Walker. She is the national aide to Dr. Michael Carter Sr. And as I said before, we were discussing the history of Black Wall Street. Now, we want to talk about the future of the new Black Wall Street. So I'm going to let you tell them about what you guys are doing now in today's society.
Okay. Well, Black Wall Street, let's say this. The move, this is a movement. We basically are calling our movement with Black Wall Street or at Black Wall Street a movement. It is a movement slated for the next 300 years. The mission of Black Wall Street USA is to establish functioning Black Wall Street districts in cities and towns around the United States and the globe. This is our mission for the next 300 years. The primary goal of our group is to outline the key elements in establishing Black Wall Street USA and districts outside of the United States and around the globe. We have a manual that shows serious persons how to recognize a potential district and perform the necessary tasks to organize a district. It's essential to our continued growth and revitalization of Black communities and Black businesses. And what a person will do in order to identify a Black Wall Street district is in each city and state, and we know, like in cities like Baltimore, Los Angeles, Houston, we don't have many Black Wall Street districts because it has to be 50 to 70% or more of Black businesses in that particular area to identify it as a Black Wall Street area. And so one of the areas that's been identified as our main Black Wall Street district is the Chicago, Illinois area, because it has been identified as a 50, as having 50 to 70% of Black businesses in that one particular area. And so what a district, what we have is one of our national district assistants do is they go into the area and they take charge and they implement different programs in order to help these districts grow and meeting the needs of the community and the businesses by helping them and teaching them what to do, how to do it, and prolong their businesses in these areas.
So it has to be, you said it has to be an area that has at least, is it 50 to 70% Black businesses?
Yes, it does. 50 to 70% in order to put our resources in to keep Black businesses going and moving along in order to meet the needs of the community. So this is what what our national, but go ahead and ask me any questions while I'm looking up the information so I can give you some strategic details on this.
Well, basically, I just wanted you to explain that, and you did when you said that the area has to have so much percent of Black-owned businesses in order to, for you guys to, is that support or invest or to help them to grow into, quote-unquote, a Black Wall Street society?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
For anybody in business and you know that area is up to 70% Black-owned businesses, these are the people that you want to be in touch with. So, Sheree, I would love for you to give them information on how to contact you all. Where do they need to go to look at this information if they want to be a part of this?
Yes. Well, in to finish the question, Black Wall Street USA, we have an Economic Development Council. And her, she is a National Economic Development Council member. Her name is Ethel Kane Russell. And her information is BWSUSAEDC, which stands for Economic Developmental Council, at blackwallstreet.org. Her vice director is Sherman Pittman. And the secretary is Etherin Stan Mitchell. We have available 30 council seats and who sit on the Economic Development Council. And we have 13 seats that are vacant. We're looking for people who are non-selfish, as our president, Dr. Michael Carter Sr., says. And what he stresses is that we work in this organization without our carnal minds, but with the spirit of the Most High, spirit of wisdom, spirit of understanding, counsel, spirit of might, knowledge, fear, and spirit of reverence to the Most High, because we are to work on these committees and in this organization in a selfless manner and without, as I said, our carnal minds. This is a movement that we must work together and accomplish much. And so we ask to join us. The fee is $65 a year. That's all it costs. $65 a year.
That's very reasonable, yeah.
To join, that is very, or shall I say, very frugal, because we can, let's see, Jeff Ross, we ask that people join our movement at blackwallstreet.org/join. Again, that is www.blackwallstreet.org/join. And in that membership, you're able to get many benefits. Some of the benefits that you can get is gain trustworthy and professional relationships, secure leads, referrals, and sales, listing in online directory. You can introduce your business at All Network King Lunches. You get free posting. You're able to fill and find jobs. We do a collective advertising, free participation in all Black Wall Street districts and USA events. That's listing, referrals, online. We do national radio, e-news on our monthly networking. E-news is distributed to every subscriber and member and is made available to the public at numerous online portals throughout the nation. Our dues are only $65 a year, and you can post and do many things. And also, I want to also tell people about the Inmate Release and Reentry National Committee that we have. And
all right. We have less than 40 seconds, so get it in there.
Okay. Okay. they receive letters from inmates, and they go out and they help inmates the pathway. They do a pathway to change. They help them with housing, Black business hiring, sponsorships, and they work with churches and organization models to help people be released from prison and reenter the community. And these programs are very good because it helps them stay out of prison and to be able to get back into the society.
Hello. Great. And we so need that, because these inmates come out and they have nowhere to go. No jobs are available. We want you all to check them out at www.blackwallstreet.org/join. Go check them out. Ms. Cherie Walker, thank you so much for being on KPTR Behind the Music. And your girl,
yes.
DJ Carmen.
See us on Facebook at Black Wall Street, USA.
All right. All right. Take care. Goodbye, everybody.
You.